This morning, this is our third message in this series, that the struggle is real. How many have experienced the struggle is real in your life? We all have at some degree. It's a cliche, it's a phrase that's used a lot today, the struggle is real. But the reality is we are in a spiritual battle for our lives. Spiritual warfare has been described as this: the mind of God warring against the mind of the devil in the mind of man. There is a battle going on inside of us for righteousness, for God, and for the enemy, and for the flesh, and the world, and the devil. And so we're looking at this theme, the struggle is real. We've talked about this invisible war on a number of occasions, never quite from this perspective, because we've talked about the armor of God. We've talked from the book of Ephesians, the whole war concept, what each part of the armor represents. But in this message, we're coming back and we're dealing with the three enemies that's described in Scripture. You have three enemies that are trying to mess your life up. Three enemies that are trying to undermine anything good that's going on in your life. Trying to defeat your family, trying to steal your soul, trying to steal your joy and your purpose and your meaning. The Bible calls these three enemies the world, the flesh, the devil. The world comes in from outside. It's the external enemy. It comes around you. We'll talk about the world in a little more detail, but the world speaks of the world's value systems, even the world's financial systems. The world thinks we're crazy to return tithe, to give to God first fruits. Before I give taxes, before I pay one bill, I've set up my giving to where the very first thing that comes out of my bank account is our tithe, is our returning to God first fruits. We take God's word literally. But the world believes that's insane. But you have to remember, the world's financial system is broken. God's financial system works. God always provides. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God has a way of taking care of his children. The world, it's a broken system. If you don't think it's broken, maybe your head might have been in the sand these past few weeks, but all of a sudden, the realities of pornography and pedophilia and the perversion, it's true. Everything I've heard my whole life preached about Hollywood, guess what? It's true. It is absolutely true. This world system is one of perversion. It depends on what is. The lid is coming off of this sin-sick, broken world. It is spiraling out of control right in front of us. And I want to tell you this, the biggest hypocrite in all the world is the world. As they try to rectify themselves, try to fix themselves, it's not going to work. And so the world is an enemy. And I'm going to tell you, the world, even in spite of all the junk that has been revealed, it's still sucking people down, pulling people in to a broken system. So you have the world. And then, of course, you have the flesh. And that is the internal enemy. We're going to talk more about this internal enemy. And then you have Satan. And Satan is that infernal enemy, him and his demons. We talked last week a little bit about this. But the problem The real problem, let's start with the biggest enemy. My biggest enemy is not the world. Now, the world has its gravitational pull. But my biggest problem is not the world, and my biggest problem is not Satan himself. My biggest problem is myself. Your biggest problem is yourself, is our own flesh. We have the idea, we highlighted this, we have the idea, if I could just get away, if I could just go to Tahiti, if I could go to the Bahamas, if I could go to Hawaii, if I could just get a new job, if I could just get a new girlfriend, if I could just get a new wife. But listen to me real close. Your problem is not everybody else, and your problem's not your location. Your problem is you. Is you. I talked about my friend. You have a trash can in Philadelphia and you move it to New York City. What do you got? You still got a trash can. Let me just say this. If you got a trash can in Orange Beach, name it. Where you want to move. Wherever you move, it's still. If you're the battle inside is this two natures. If you're a believer, and I'm talking primarily to believers. If you are a believer, there's two natures at work. There's that nature that just wants to do what's fun. It wants to do what's convenient. It wants to do what they feel is right, is easy. Not necessarily what is good for you. It's the flesh. And a lot of the things, listen closely, a lot of the things you want to do are actually self-destructive. And that's what happens to so many people and so many families. We want to do what is good. We want to do what is healthy. But for some reason we don't do that, and we end up doing what is bad and what is unhealthy, and we end up messing our life up, undermining our life, and bringing destruction ultimately to many. That's what Romans chapter 7 and verse number 15 says. Romans 7 and verse 15 says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Boy, there's a lot of personal pronouns in there. This is one of the greatest men of God. Outside of Jesus, probably the greatest man of God you're going to find in Scripture. And he's got an eye problem, which ought to make us wake up, because a lot of people think, "I don't have a problem." Yes, you do. I do. And that problem's you. And that problem's me. And until we come to grips with these two natures and we understand what this man has to say about learning to crucify the flesh, how often? Daily, dying to ourselves. There's going to be a lot of struggle in our life. That right there, it's the story of you and it's the story of me. See, you know far more than you're actually doing. You know what to do. You can't sit in these services and tell me you don't know what to do. Read the Bible, been in church for a long time. You can't tell me you don't know what to do. It's not an issue of you not knowing. It's an issue, the inability to delay gratification. You do what you want to do. You say, "Well, I got good intentions." Let me tell you something. I love you. I love this church. I love these moments. But I love you enough to tell you this. Your intentions are not good enough. And when you stand by before God, intentions are not good enough. The truth is, there's a battle inside of you. And so much of your unhappiness and discontentment, listen to me, it's because you're listening to the wrong voice. You're listening to you. of the Holy Spirit. The voice of God, or the voice of the Holy Spirit. You tell yourself stuff. You tell yourself stuff. But it's not truth. See, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's accurate. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true, or doesn't mean it's correct. And one of the points from last week, and we didn't get to it in its entirety, but we alluded to it, and it's this: you got to stop lying to yourself and telling yourself you're okay. You're okay. You can fix yourself. Remember me saying this? You got to get out of your own head. You got to stop being your own therapist. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to flood your heart and mind and start listening to the Spirit over yourself, because you're not following through with yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Everybody still with me this morning? Amen. Anybody still glad you came to church? Don't tune me out yet. It's going to get good. I want to share with you at the outset here six things that can really mess your life up. Things that mess people's lives up. Now, these were found in Romans chapter 7. We dealt with them last week, kind of renamed and reshaped them for this week. And then we're looking at Romans chapter 8, and we're looking at the answer to the thing I want to do, I don't do, and the thing I don't want to do is the thing I do. And so I want us to see here how we mess ourselves up. Number one is this: shame. Things that mess people's lives up. It's shame. We've all been ashamed of something, haven't we? And we've all been shamed. I was shamed greatly. I grew up in a Pentecostal preacher's home. Let me tell you something. I know a lot about guilt and shame. I'm ashamed of you, boy. Boy, I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that. I learned a lot. I'm ashamed of you. And so I learned a lot about shame. When we feel ashamed, we feel guilty. We feel regrets. It robs us of happiness. When we feel shame, it pushes us away from God. I would say this: shame is one of the top destroyers of happiness in my life, in your life. What does the Bible say? God didn't come to condemn us. Shame is not God's plan. In fact, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, so that you don't have to live in shame. How many are glad that God doesn't shame us? Do you realize that? God doesn't shame you. And I'm going to show you that more in just a moment. Here's a second thing that really messes our life up. And it's this: it's uncontrolled thoughts. Listen to me. I'm a work in progress. I don't have all these things down. I am growing. I am convicted more by these messages than probably anyone in this room. But hear these things today. You've got to get a hold of your mind and the way you think. The Bible says it this way: bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The kind of thoughts that we should have, walking in obedience to Christ. Finally, whatever is good, pure, just, and honest, if there be any virtue, if there be any good thing, think on these things. If you don't learn how to control your thoughts, listen to me, your thoughts will ruin your lives because you say stuff to yourself that causes unhappiness and grief and causes pressure. You've got to learn how to control. You've got to quit saying things like, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm a loser, I'm worthless, I'll never amount to anything, I'll never be free, this is my destiny, this is my lot in life. You're never gonna break free if you keep saying to yourself, I'm nothing, I'm nobody. Now the flip side of that is those people who think they're somebody. But on both sides, you have got to get a hold of your thoughts. It's something I aspire to. It's something I struggle with, is trying to keep my thoughts from undermining God's purpose and plan. Coming into alignment with the Word of God, of what God says about me, not what myself, not what my brokenness, not what my guilt or my shame wants to say about me. If I learned anything from my dad, and I learned a lot from my dad, godly man, radical salvation as a young adult, lived a godly life. I'm going to tell you that to me, one of the things that stood out more than any was his ability to control his mouth. And the reason he was able to control his mouth is he controlled his mind. And he wasn't a hyper faith type of confession person, but he wasn't self-defeating. He had the ability to control his emotions, to not allow himself incredible sense of self-control. And I'm going to tell you why. We're going to preach this a little bit later. It's because my dad was passionately in love with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you this, and the Holy Spirit. He loved the Holy Spirit. He lived. He walked in the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. He loved the Word that helps us to control our minds. Here's the third thing that messed people's lives up. And we're talking here today about Christ-following people. Christians in the church that deal with shame, that deal with uncontrolled thoughts, that deal with compulsions. Listen, if the truth be known, how many people have compulsions almost to the point of being an addict that are in the body of Christ? These inner drives, inner desires, some people call them lust, some people call them habits, some people call them impulses. But there are things in your life, and it's just like, I've got to do this. Even though you know it was wrong, I just had to do it. It's a compulsion. It's an addiction, if you will. And then as soon as it's over, I can't believe I did that. I don't know why I did that. Listen, I counseled with a family that lives in another state over the weekend. And here was a phrase that I heard over and over. Why am I doing this? 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 I'm gonna tell you why. When we try to fix ourselves, when we try to live the Christian life outside of the Holy Spirit, we're gonna have compulsions. We're messed up. We're listening to our own thinking. We live with a sense of guilt and shame. And so we have this facade and we try to cover up. You'd better learn you'd better learn your triggers. You'd better learn your triggers. That's a rehab word there, isn't it? That's a word that we hear in Celebrate Recovery and AA. But for everyone in this room, listen, you better learn your triggers. What causes you to do things, say things that you later are going to regret, you better learn before they destroy your life, your family, your marriage, your kids, your finances, your job. Here's things that mess people's lives up. Fear. Fear. It's a destroyer of happiness. It's a destroyer of potential. How many people don't even try something? They have great potential, but they don't try. It's that old phrase, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? What would you try? What holds us captive? It is fear. Fear. Now listen to me. Fear will limit your life. People don't want to say I'm afraid. And it's not like they're afraid of the dark. But they're so afraid. Here's what they do. They never live a life of faith. They live a life of control. And they limit. Will limit your life. And holds you captive. Here's another thing that messes people's lives up. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. Are you hopeless today? Just don't have any hope? Discouraged? Want to give up? Are you hopeless about your marriage? Are you hopeless that you'll ever get married? Are you hopeless about your finance? Do you feel hopeless about your health? Hopeless is a self-destructive tool that undermines, it causes us, hopelessness causes us to turn inward, and it robs us from the plan that God has for our life. What about this? Look at here's the sixth thing that messes people's lives up. And it's this, it's bitterness. Bitterness. Life's unfair. And some of you have suffered greater hurt and pain than what I could ever imagine. And if I shared with you my hurt and pain, you'd think it was nothing. But whatever that hurt and pain is, it's very real to you, whether it's very real to anyone else. Some of you, it may be real to all of us because there may be great abuse that has happened in your life. And I'm so sorry for that. I truly am. I don't like the fact that people feel such guilt and pain because of circumstances, situations. Here's what I know, and I don't say this to be harsh, it's what the Bible says. The Bible demands that we have a spirit of forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. It's a part of our daily prayer. For if we forgive men not their trespasses, neither can our Heavenly Father forgive us. In life, we can either get better or we can get bitter. Pretty cliche, isn't it? But we need to hear that. Bitterness is a cancer that will eat you alive. It's a poison that will eat you up on the inside. I'm not talking about extreme situations. I'm just talking about the tendencies to be jealous and envious. And people live jealous and envious. Somebody gets a new car. Somebody gets a new house. Somebody gets to go on a vacation. Let me tell you this about bitterness. Listen to this. You never hurt other people with your bitterness as much as you hurt yourself. You always hurt the most. It's a self-destructive emotion. There is no value to bitterness in your life. There is no value in holding a grudge. Here's the seventh thing. Insecurity. Things that mess people's lives up. Insecurity. Insecurity will cause you to do foolish things. Because you're insecure, you'll do things that you'll say stupid things, do stupid things. You become a poser, if you will. And the only people impressed by a poser is It's other posers. The only people that are impressed by fakes are other fakes. You know that old cliche everybody talks about, fake it till you make it? Fake it till you make it. The only person impressed by a faker is another faker. Nobody else is. It's no way to live. It's insecurity. See, in Romans chapter 7, and we talked through these last week, we titled them a little bit different, but so important that we need to go over them. Shame, our thought life, grabbing a hold of our thoughts, compulsions, even leading to addictions, fear, hopelessness, bitterness, insecurity. It saturates, it fills the church, it fills marriages, the job place. I'm talking about believers, two natures, warring against each other, and the flesh is filled with shame and uncontrolled thoughts and compulsions and fear and hopeless and bitterness and insecurity. And here you have the Holy Spirit abiding in you, and the Holy Spirit wants you to be more than a conqueror over these things. Romans chapter 7, we identify with. It's rather hopeless. But I want us to begin to unfold God's plan that you find in Romans chapter 8. How can I be free? Does anybody identify with at least one of those seven things that I've mentioned this morning? I didn't put lying down for the rest of you, but I'll add eight so we can all respond. That's life. What I mentioned is life. So how can I be free? Well, here's what Paul says. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am. Number one, anybody identify there as a follower of Christ? God have mercy. Help me. Wretched man. I'm back to that phrase. We talked about it last week, and I'm going to end with it again. But who will deliver us from this body of death? Then what? Here it is. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who will deliver me? Now, I want you to notice this. He doesn't say what will set me free. He doesn't say what. What? He says who. You know why? Because the problem is inside of you. The problem is inside of you. So you need someone, that problem inside of you, need someone to set you free. Who is going to set me free? Which tells me this, everything that we look to is not the answer. We look to what will set me free. We look to a bottle, we look to smoking something, snorting something, shooting something. Maybe even the doctor prescribes it and we abuse it. It's called escapism. It's not the answer. It is not the answer. It's not going to set you free. It's not going to make you the person God called you to be. Listen, it's not self-help books, and it's not a new seminar, and it's not going and getting hypnotized. Those are not the answer. The answer is this. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not what's going to set me free. It is who is going to set me free. And he's looking to Jesus. How can I be free? Here's number one. I'm going to give you three things. We got 6 minutes. I'm going to give you three things. Are you ready? Number one, daily focus on what Jesus did for you. There is therefore, Romans 8, 1 through 4, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God hath done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen, daily focus. Remind yourself. Luke prayed it earlier. Remind us, Lord. Remind me every day. Remind me of the cross, because I'm filled with shame and uncontrolled thoughts and compulsions and fear and hopelessness and bitterness and insecurity. And Lord, I need to remember the cross. And the cross says, there is therefore now no condemnation. So everything that the flesh raises its head up and tries to condemn and shame and undermine, thank God I'm not living according to my flesh. It's been forgiven. God has covered it by the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer that same person. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. I don't have to live bound in my mind by what used to be me. I'm a new person in Christ. Amen? Yeah. And you start living free in who He created you to be. If I am a believer, I belong to Christ. There's no condemnation. This is for Christians. If you're not a believer, there's guilt and condemnation and shame and all these things. But if you are a believer following Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation. Does that mean that you're never going to sin? No. Does that mean that you'll make mistakes? Sure. Are you going to fail? Sure. But the good news is, I don't live according to the old flesh. If I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. If I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. I stop and I remember everything Jesus did on the cross. He took my place so I could take His place. I remember that He defeated the devil at the cross. And in doing so, I have a greater power now that supersedes willpower. It's that resurrection power of Jesus. But unfortunately, the reason that we struggle with these seven things that I've listed, the seven things, you know why we struggle with them? Because we don't access the power of resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're still trying to live the Christian life on willpower. We're not accepting the grace of God. We're still trying to do it ourselves. And when you try to live God for yourself, you're going to experience those seven things that mess people's lives up. Law keeping. Look in verse number 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Listen to me. Keeping the law never works because of our own sinful nature. See, laws work on the outside. They don't change the inside. And your problem's not an external problem. Your problem is a spiritual problem. It's an internal problem. That's why the law didn't work. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why the curtain had to be ripped down. That's why relationship, that's why the Holy Spirit was poured out to dwell inside of us, because the law didn't work. We had to have a relationship. Spirit man had to come alive. See, it was more than just putting on some new clothes. It was more than just spiffing up. I needed to be transformed. That's why I don't expect someone who's not a believer to act like a believer. They may look like a believer, talk like a believer, smell like a believer, but the fact of the matter is, until there's transformation, they can't change. None of us can change. God knew that laws couldn't save us. It's only the grace of God. Remember, every day remember, when I stand before the Lord, if He were to ask me, did you keep all my laws? My answer would be no. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I accepted Christ. And I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't get into heaven because I'm a law keeper. I get into heaven because Jesus took my place. He's my ticket. He paid for my price. He did all the good things. And He imputed an accounting term. He put it on into my life. It's called grace. every day. Remember, it's not what you do. It's not what you do. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's Jesus. It's the cross. It's the power of the resurrection. Amen? Every day, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with your thoughts. Ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the forgotten God, isn't he? We did that Bible study. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Do you pray that? Do you say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me today. There are people that ask all kinds of spirits to lead them. Folks, we are followers of Christ. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit to lead us. Spirit of God, lead me. Spirit of God, bring thoughts to me. My thoughts are self-destructive. My flesh, that old nature is self-destructive. Holy Spirit, give me better thoughts. Help me to stop this self-defeating. See, there's two mindsets here. There's the mindset of the old nature, and there's the mindset of the Holy Spirit. There's the mindset of the way I normally think about my life, and there's the mindset of the way the Spirit thinks and sees my life. Which one of those is true? Which one's true? It's the Holy Spirit. Am I going to allow my mind to dwell and live on the way that I just normally or used to live? What's Scripture say? For those who live according to the flesh, verse number 9, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Look at verse number 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Listen, if you listen to your mind, if you listen to your flesh, it is anti-God, against God. It's going to rationalize and do whatever it can. It's going to try to block God out. So we need the Holy Spirit. But those who live, verse number 5, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Do you get your mind set on the Spirit? When you wake up, do you say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life today. How am I going to overcome? How am I going to be free? Holy Spirit, fill me. The old mind, it's death. It's self-destructive. God, I set my mind on things above. The Holy Spirit is the answer to uncontrolled thoughts. The Holy Spirit gives me better thoughts. Listen, if you're flipping the TV channel and something comes on that you know you shouldn't see or shouldn't watch, what do you need to do? What do we do? Flip the channel. Change the channel. It's the principle of replacement. When you're walking out the grocery store or you're at the airport and you're looking at magazines, and it may not be official smut, but it's unofficial smut that's everywhere, and you know, dear God, what do? You move somewhere else. It's the law of replacement. Holy Spirit, give me grace to replace. Somebody say amen, that's good. Holy Spirit, give me grace to replace. Finally, what's good and true, turn change the channel. Turn your mind over to what's good, pure, just. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's golf. Sometimes it's football or basketball. It's getting my mind off of junk, and it's getting my mind onto something else that's good. Somebody say amen. Let me give you this thing, and we'll fill in the blanks. We'll pick this up next week. Remind yourself you have a new ability to say no. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you are able to say no. But I say walk in the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Brothers, we're debtors, not to the flesh. We don't owe anything to the flesh, but to live according to the Lord. We're not living according to the flesh. Listen, you have the ability to say no. Not because of your strength, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The power of the Spirit. Are you living in that, or are you still living in all these things that are just choking the life? This is the flesh. These seven things, the flesh. But Jesus, the cross, Jesus, the resurrection, he ascended and he gave the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit to change you so you don't think the same, to change you so you, by the power of the Spirit, can say no to the flesh, first of all, to the world and to the devil. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to daily remind ourselves of the cross, and we need to daily say, fill me fresh with your Holy Spirit.